I don't want to share someone else's thoughts. I want to create my own original thoughts. I want to create my own original solutions. I want to look at situations and come up with my own phrasing, my own words, and do it my way.
This is the John Taffer Podcast.
Shut it down.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the John Taffer Podcast. If you haven't subscribed, go click on subscribe right now and subscribe to this podcast. I'm in the middle of bar rescue season, so we're only doing about one a month these days, but the ones we do are really important podcasts. And if you'd like to be in a podcast or interact with me, just send an email to podcast@johntaffer.com. That's podcast@johntaffer.com. And today, I have one of my favorite guests. You know, today, the premiere of Restaurant Rivals hit Discovery Plus. And I am really excited. You know, I've been doing Bar Rescue now for about 11 years. I've done about 230 episodes. And my fans and Robert's, Irvine's fans for many years have said, you guys got to work together. You guys got to work together. But we never could because he's on one network. I'm on another network. And due to contractual exclusivity and things like that, we couldn't make it happen. But we always wanted to, and we became great friends. Then Discovery called me and said, John, would you like to work with Robert Irvine? I'm very excited, but I thought I'd be working shoulder to shoulder with Chef Irvine, not in competition with him. Well, when I heard the format, I love Robert. The opportunity to work with him was too great. So we decided to do Restaurant Rivals together. And here was the deal. The two of us would walk into restaurants together, two restaurants. We'd look at the restaurants, talk to the owners, taste the food, and afterwards we'd walk out and we'd flip a coin to see who gets what restaurant. So whoever wins the coin toss gets to pick their restaurant. Then we have 24 hours, each of us, to do a new menu, new interior, new brand, new everything, and reposition the restaurant. And the following day, only one day later, 30 customers come into that restaurant and rate both of our restaurants in food quality, food plating, atmosphere, service, and beverage quality. Wow. Now these 30 scorecards are brought into a back room and a bunch of accountants and production people all tally it up, and either I win or Robert wins. So this is the real deal. There's not a lot of ambiguity here. So Robert and I get to do what we do best, but we're doing it against each other. Now, here's the beauty of this show, and I'm so excited about it. Robert and I really love each other. We do really respect each other, and we do really think we're both really good at what we do. But I got to tell you, I want to win really bad. Robert wants to win really bad. And not only do I want to win, I want him to lose. And not only does he want to win, he wants me to lose. So this is a fierce competition show. I wanted to beat him more than anything. And I know he wanted the same with me. So what we did is we did three episodes, best two out of three, for complete bragging rights. And I am unbelievably excited about the way the show came out. It was physical. It was professional, and it was mental manipulation. Robert's calling me and telling me he's falling behind. I'm calling him, telling him I'm falling behind. He's covering himself in paint. I'm not even sure he ever touched a paintbrush. But this show is the most fun I have ever had making a TV show, and I did it with the most competitive person I know, Chef Robert Irvine. So having him on today's podcast was sort of a no-brainer with Discovery Plus dropping the show today. So without further ado, Robert Irvine is going to be coming up right after this quick break.
Don't shut down this podcast. John Taffer will be right back.
Now we're cooking!
The two biggest titans in the restaurant rescue game are finally facing off.
Beat Irvine!
Watch out, Taffer, because Irvine's coming for you.
Executive chef Robert Irvine of Restaurant Impossible fame has changed lives in over 1,000 restaurants around the world.
Stand up and shout it.
I want to be the best barbecue restaurant in the world.
Business mogul and host of Bar Rescue, John Taffer, has saved thousands of locations from bankruptcy and turned them into money makers.
When I say profitable, I'm talking dollars. This is fun.
Actually, profit would be fun.
These two rivals are about to find out who is the ultimate restaurant rehabber.
So here he is, the biggest competitor, toughest competitor I've ever dealt with in my life, but also my dear, dear buddy, Robert Irvine. How are you, Chef?
How are you? Great to see you again.
Good to see you, too. You know, I got a chance to really know you personally, and I've met Gail, and I've had a chance to spend a lot of time with you. And, you know, I want to talk about you a little bit, because this is a real fun opportunity, and then we'll talk about the show a little bit. So you really came up in the Royal Navy, learned to cook in the Royal Navy.
Correct.
You've been married to Gail now for about 10 years.
Yeah, May the 10th will be 10 years. We've been together 13 years.
Wow. And you met on Restaurant Impossible, which I love.
Well, actually, it was Dinner Impossible. It was the previous. She was a WWE wrestler, and she had to help me do feed the WWE folks. And the meal had to be produced with all the finishing moves of the wrestlers.
Well, and then, of course, you've done, I don't know how many TV shows. I got the list here. It's remarkable, the amount of TV shows. And I'll give the list to everybody right now. Restaurant Impossible, The Robert Irvine Show, Dinner Impossible, Restaurant Express, The Globe, Kitchen Expedition, All-Star Academy, A Hero's Welcome, Worst Cooks in America, Cheat Day USA, and All-Star Family Cook-Off. That's just incredible, buddy. And when I think that I've been doing this 11 years, I've done about 230 Bar Rescue episodes. Oh, man, you blow me away in the amount of television that you've done. But in our friendship, I've never asked you this question before. How did you get into TV?
It's funny. I started in TV. I met Mark Summer. Actually, I was doing a thing with Paula Deen years ago, not television. It was at the Armory in New Jersey. It was a live food show. And I opened for her, just didn't know her. Somebody asked me to do this show before. I did it. And it was probably about 2,000 folks there. And the reason they were there was not to see me, is because I was giving away free cheesecakes. I asked Mark Summers to come down and see. I'd done a lot of local TV, but nothing in a big way. And I said, come down and see if you think, you know, there's something there or not. Either way, it doesn't bother me. And that's how we started. And that's how I got into television, just basically. Wow.
And for those who don't know, Mark Summers used to host a show himself, which was What's Food Made Of or something like that, where he talked about the ingredients of it.
Yeah, well, he's done a lot. I mean, he's really. For Double Dare, you know, the slimy green show.
Yeah.
And he's done a lot of other TV since then. But yeah, he was my kind of, people knew him and thought he could get me to television. I ended up pitching the show myself, funny enough, with him on the phone from California. And it went. So it's kind of and here we are friends later. He's no longer involved in Restaurant Impossible anymore because he's got so many other things going on. But so we started.
Were you good at it your first episode, you think?
No, I sucked. I think we are, you try to be something you're not because somebody's telling you what they want. Right. And that's the first, and I'm sure you've been through that. When you start and you think it's what they want, and really what they want is you to be comfortable and be you. And I wasn't that for the first, oh my goodness, I don't know, first season, I think.
For me, they almost wanted to overproduce me in the beginning. And they asked me to do things. And one of my worst days, Chef, is a producer literally wanted to put ketchup on a tampon and throw it on the floor in the ladies' room. And I walked off set and it was a huge stink. And you know, in the beginning, they almost, you're right, they want you to be like you, but they don't let you be like you in the beginning. And they try to package everything. And I get it. You know, you're going to spend X amount of dollars. You want to know what you're getting. But, you know, I think it's when I developed the confidence to almost, and I don't say this in a disrespectful way, to say, I'm not going to listen to the network. I'm going to listen to me. I think that's when I got good. Did you go through a similar thing?
Well, I think, yeah, of course. I believe that, you know, we are who we are because we're made that way, right? I sworn from day one, I would never do fake television. And if you told me to do something, I would never do it. Luckily, the network, Discovery and Food have said to me, you know, we want you the way you are. Our show is off the hook rating wise. It's been running for 13 years. And hopefully it goes on a lot longer. So I think once they realize that they've got like a real person that can, right, like we do, that they're okay with it, right? Yeah. They don't. So, I think we've all been through.
You know, the past few weeks when I've been talking about the show, people say, oh, yeah, you and Irvine are so alike. You and Irvine are so alike. You know, it's interesting when I think to myself, what's the difference between Robert and I? Because we have the same passion for helping people, certainly. We have the same passion for our industry. We both have charitable hearts, right? Yeah. In that kind of a way. So what is the big difference between us? And, you know, I struggle to find it. Do you know what the big difference is between us?
We have different tolerance levels. And I've watched you, not only when we did our show, but I've watched you, you know, we've been friends for a long time. So I've watched you. I think you're a lot more tolerable than I am. So your patience level is a little higher than mine for certain things, not everything. And I think that's the only difference between us, except I'm the better looking brother than.
Yes. The young, handsome one.
Yeah. but we have slightly different tolerant levels, but we're the same in everything else for sure.
I find it remarkable how much alike we really are, Chef. And, you know, moving to Restaurant Rivals, you know, you and I have wanted to work together for a long time. Mm-hmm. And our fans have asked us for years to work together. And we never could with the contracts and networks. It was never a possibility. So when I got a phone call saying, do you want to do something with Robert Irvine? Of course, I was, yes. But I thought we were going to be working shoulder to shoulder. I didn't realize we were going to be competing against each other. So I was excited, but I must tell you, buddy, you're formidable. I was worried going into this, and I'm sure you were too, that you know, two big personalities, you know, in the same environment together. But boy, I loved every minute working with you, Chef. I did. But I got to tell you, you are one fierce competitor.
Well, and likewise, right? I mean, come on. We do the same thing in on different networks, different disciplines. You're a bar, I'm a restaurant, but, you know, same kind of thing. And I feel that, you know, there's nobody doing what we do in real, right? We're real. And that's the fact of it. So it was fun for me. I pitched this show a long time ago.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I pitched this 3 years ago and I wanted to do this. And obviously, and you said it, networks and contracts and things. But I believe it's going to the right place at the moment, right? I want it to on linear, and somebody down the road will figure that out, right? But I feel that the fans have waited for this for so long. It comes up, it's going to happen. It is happened. It has happened. You're going to see it, and you're gonna be in Team Irvine camp. You're going to be in Team Taffer camp. I've seen it already you've seen it. You've posted. You've answered, and I think it's a great, healthy conversation. Win, lose, or draw, the winners are the restaurant owners, right? And absolutely. So, you know, it was for me a great. I want to continue to do this. I hope the networks pick it up again. I really do.
Me too.
Because I had a lot. And we'll talk about it. Well, you are. I mean, not only you're bigger than me, you're a great personality. We are so alike, but so different when we stand next to each other. It's so funny. I mean, you're in a jacket, you know, I do things that you don't do. You do things that I don't do. And I think the viewers are going to see that in these shows. And they will get a feel for, they think they know who we are. They really don't.
But I got to tell you, working in contrast with each other, we reveal a bit more of who we are, I think, to the audience. Also, I found it fascinating, Chef. Look, I don't have to tell you, you know how much I respect your work and how much I love your food. And I've been to your restaurant and you're tops to me, buddy. You know that. So when I look at what we've gone through together, and I think to myself, what surprised me about this experience? Well, I know that how good you are at what you do. I know the kind of communicator that you are. What struck me about you that totally blew me away, and it might be because you're one of the fittest men in America, is your energy is undaunting. I mean, I got to sit down and catch my breath every once in a while. You never do.
No, I'm one of these, I don't know. My trainer always says to me, are you going to give up? I'm like, no, I never give up. I never get tired. I work tirelessly 345 days a year, you know, and I take that time off. Afterwards, when I've been to the military bases or whether to reflect, that's the only time I downtime. But I get so energetic, and I know I've seen the same thing with you. So yeah, you may have to sit down, but this doesn't stop. And I think we're liking that. We do care so much, and you put so much energy into these things that time and hours and days, they don't exist anymore. You know, people say, oh, you're on the road 345 days a year. Yeah, all days end in Y with me. I don't have weekends. I don't have, you know,
right.
From one place to another immediately, and then a base, then another, you know. So for me, it's keeping up with the youngins.
I hear, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I don't think about what day of the week it is. I think it's day one, day two, day three. Where am I in production? And it's amazing, you know, in our other lives, and you have, you know, your food lines and all of your businesses, and I have a few myself, and, you know, there's nothing as invasive as television. Do you agree? I mean, it's just really the hardest work I've ever done. Do you agree?
Yeah, I don't know why people do reality shows. You know, I couldn't be the, you know, we do our shows, but nobody comes to my house and films in my house.
Right.
For the, let's put it that way, and follows my life. I think I could never do that. You know, we are, you know, we're on the public eye 24/7, 365, no matter what you do, where you are, having dinner with your wife, it doesn't matter. And I think that is kind of a lot. Yet alone what these people do in the houses and oh my goodness, I don't think I could do that. It's not my world. I like it some to close the door and sit on my couch and fall asleep and dribble and, you know, all the things that we do in the human world, then nobody gets to see, which is not much.
Yeah. Okay. Direct question. I need to know this because you have a certain prejudice about you to cinnamon. Now, I did not know this. I was reading about you this morning, and I read that you have a thing. You hate cinnamon. You won't cook with cinnamon. Where did this come from? Now, I know in the UK, cinnamon is not a popular spice, right?
It is not. And I grew up without cinnamon. I came to the States, and majority of the United States of America uses cinnamon that's called cassia, which is very peppery. And I am adverse to not pepper, but to that taste. Until I did Kitchen Expedition and I got to follow my pet hate, which was cinnamon. I got to go to Salem, Massachusetts, which became the first United States state to create millionaires through cinnamon, believe it or not. Not witches. It wasn't about witches. It was all about cinnamon and pepper. And that's where cassia came from, by the way. And then I went to Sri Lanka and I harvested cinnamon on an island with a three-generational family, which I really enjoy. I really like that type of cinnamon. Do I love cinnamon still? No. But I can tolerate that, the Sri Lankan or Lankan cinnamon. But that's about it. But I grew up with cinnamon. I don't cook with it, not even in rice pudding and all the other stuff that I do. I find it too, it's like saffron, right? You put too much in, you ruin it.
Right, yeah, it's overwhelming a little bit, yep, for sure. Well, I'm a cinnamon lover, but you know, it's funny. Years ago, I had a big dinner theater and I hired a French chef and he wouldn't cook corn. To him, corn was animal feed. He wanted nothing to do with it. And it's interesting, when chefs come from all over the world, there are these little idiosyncrasies and foods they love and migrate to and foods they hate, certainly. Yeah.
Gail uses cinnamon a lot. I'm like, oh no, not if you're gonna buy cinnamon, go and get real cinnamon, not this garbage stuff, you know.
Yeah. So I've been working really hard helping our industry during the pandemic. I know you have too. What do you think? Do you think the industry's starting to come out of it now?
Yeah, I think what's changed in our industry, and we've both done a lot of, you know, TV. With pundits and saying, hey, what's happening? Where are we going? I think our industry is starting to come back. I think we've lost a lot of great restaurants that couldn't make it through and neither of us could get to them to save them or have the money to do that. I think our style of dining is changing. Yeah. I think we're becoming a lot more simple. It's so funny. I just finished South Beach Food and Wine and I see an influencer, a 20-year-old kid with 10 million followers making hot dogs. And that seems to be, and I'm not just saying hot dogs, but simple food done well, yeah. Quick service, clean
sort of place. A minimalist mentality.
Yeah. And I see that all these, and there are still a few around, but the white tablecloth, the high-end, you know, $600 bottles of wine, they're gone. And I think that's a good thing because it allows those that have not experienced that dining experience to go out and buy a bottle of wine for $20, maybe pay $25 for it in a restaurant, you know, because of some upcharge, but not be ripped off by it. And I find that really refreshing. I do.
And approachable for those who have not had that type of an experience before. I think the industry is very healthy. We're going to cross $1 trillion this year. We should. The numbers I just saw from the National Restaurant Association. What was the best part of Restaurant Rivals for you? What was the most fun?
I think sitting down, calling you in the middle of, because you are a great hoodwinker.
Me too.
You are a great hoodwinker. Dude, you can tell me, although I'm getting used to you now, in the weeds 10 times and I'm like, oh yeah, he's playing me like a fiddle, this guy. You know, I think one part, I think sitting down, drinking a beer at the end, and I think really talking. I like the piece where we went in to the two places together and dined together. I like that because there's a different perspective on what I look forward to, what you look for, and some of the similar ones. But I really like interaction. Normally when I do my show, it's me going in and it's me finding fault and saying you suck and this kind of thing. And fixing it and coming out knowing that they're going to do better.
Yeah.
And it was really, even though we were kind of competitors, there's a common thread of we want to, no matter which restaurant you get, I'm going to tell this guy and you're going to tell this guy, both of them together, us together. And then we go in this one, do the same thing. And I think that's very unusual for a TV show.
I agree. You know, when we did those FaceTime calls and for the audience during the competition, Robert, I can't go to Robert's restaurant. He can't come to mine. And what it is we are go visit two restaurants together. We talk to the owners. We taste the food. We look at the restaurant. Then after we've been to both restaurants, we go outside. We flip a coin, which happens to be Robert's military coin, I'm proud to say. We flip the coin and whoever wins the coin toss gets to pick which restaurant they want. And whoever loses the coin toss gets to pick which service, first or second service that they want. Then we go off our separate ways. Robert and I can't see each other's restaurants. We both have the same amount of people on our team. We have 24 hours to redo the interior, the menu, the beverage program, train the team, put everything together. Then the following day, there's two services. And about 30 people came into each restaurant and they evaluated us on five things: food quality, plating, atmosphere, service, and beverages. And then they took all those cards, Robert, and they went into the back room like the Price Waterhouse accountants at the Oscars. And then they came out and I read Robert's score and he read mine. And I'm going to say he won sometimes. I won sometimes. I'm not going to talk about how the end came out. But I got to tell you, buddy, in as much as winning or losing each heat together was sort of sweet, I loved beating you professionally, personally. I love you too much. You know, you are one of my favorite people, Chef. And I've got to tell you, of all the things that we did together during the show, my favorite time was when we sat together and had that beer.
Did you just say you beat me?
No. I'm saying in the tournaments that you did and the ones that I did, we both won games. That,
yes.
You know, when I did beat you that one, that, you know, it wasn't all sweet because I love you so much. How did you feel when you beat me?
And it's so funny because I am not a I don't do competitions ever. And that's a true statement. I've got to the point that I feel that I don't need to do them, should I say. And this one
same.
still isn't a competition to me, although it is, right? It is, don't get me wrong. But I have so much respect for what you do and friendship that, you know, there's it's okay to win, lose, or draw to your buddy, because I look at Tom Brady win, losing, and drawing, right? And I look at so I think this is very different for me. I'm not used to, and this is a true story, I'm not used to doing this. I'm normally in, boom, done, next. This was a different style show for me. One I really enjoyed, I will tell you. Great people, all our producers, all our designers, and the restaurants, you know, them folks were great. So, you know, I don't normally get that. You don't normally get that. We go in there to fix something. These were working, even though they were broken, they were workable. Yeah. Normally we don't go into them kind of restaurant. They're losing a lot of money. Yep. Those these restaurants were, but nothing to what I'm used to. You know, I'm used to a million, you know, anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million, $1 million, $2 million. And then they're looking like, well, what's next, you know?
So, I can tell everybody a little piece of secret information about the show. You and I wagered a bet for $5,000.
Yeah.
At some point during the competition. It wasn't about the end result. At some point during the competition. And I did wind up writing a check for $5,000 to the Robert Irvine Foundation. So we had a little side bet going. Now, again, that wasn't the outcome of the show. It was actually the first week or so we bet on something and I lost. But, you know, this has been great fun between us. It's two really good friends sort of screwing with each other a little bit and just having a really good time. And I'm excited about this show, buddy. And I hope we get to do many more together.
I hope, and I said this morning on the phone, that this show continues to go because it is going to change a lot of people's lives. Not only our own individual shows that we do that change lives, but also in a quicker format.
I agree. And we're rescuing two restaurants at a time. How cool is that?
Yeah. That's the fun.
So, buddy, what's new? What do you want to promote? We got my audience together with yours here.
You know, Restaurant Impossible is on again. We continue to do that. Restaurant Rivals, our new liquor line is doing great. Fit Crunch is doing great. We've got a new cleaning
company. I tried it all, by the way. I think your gin is excellent, Robert. Those who haven't tried it, Irvine Gin is a very, very good product. I like the botanicals very much that you chose. Well done. I must say, and for those who wouldn't think this is true, I've seen pictures of Robert on the treadmill watching Bar Rescue. He's seen pictures of me watching Restaurant Impossible. We do watch each other's shows.
I have to tell people I watch you. I'm not ashamed of that at all.
No, I enjoy you, buddy. We are great friends. And when you watch Restaurant Rivals, you're going to see our friendship. You're going to see our competitive spirit, but you're going to see something else that I thought was unique, chef. And then I'll let you go. You're a chef. You're a great chef, but you're a great restaurateur also. So people can't put you in a chef box. That's not fair. But when you go into a restaurant, you seem to work from the food out, right? You have this premise of working from the food out. I sort of work from the outside in. And it's interesting, and I think there are these subtle differences between the way we go about it, Robert, that I think people are really going to enjoy, don't you?
Yeah, and you're right. I do look. I look at how are people spending their hard-earned money? Why would they go to that restaurant? And it's a restaurant, so food is the primary. Then then I look at the atmosphere. And I don't look at drinks to last because, you know what, I can get a drink anywhere. And I didn't say good drink. I said, I can get a drink. But if I can't, if I go to a restaurant that's supposed to be great food and I can't get good food, then forget it, you know? I look at food first, atmosphere, alcohol. Then I look around what's around it to make it successful. You know, why would I go there? Why, when there's 16 Italian restaurants within a mile of each other, why would I go to that restaurant?
It's funny, we look at it with the same eyes, but our eyes start and end in slightly different orders. Mm-hmm. It's really fun to watch you work, Robert. I enjoy every minute of the work that you do, buddy. But most important, and I'd be remiss to say this, you have the most charitable heart of anybody I know. You are relentless in your work for our military and our veterans. Relentless. I mean, every day in your life, there's some part of that day contributing an effort to support them. And I try my best, buddy, but I can't get it to the point that you have. And I'm just so proud to call you my friend. Yeah. And to finish this up, I'm going to ask you a couple of quick questions for quick answers. You ready? What are your favorite beers?
Normally Pilsners.
But I noticed during our show, I think you were having a Stella.
Stella. Right? I love Stella. Yeah, I do love Stella.
You started cooking when you were 11 years old. What did you like to cook when you were 11?
I started cooking at 11 years old because I was in a home economics class with 30 girls. And I was the only guy. That's the only reason I started cooking. And then the girls went out the window, and anything I cooked, which, by the way, my dad always thought it was crap when I brought it home, because he was a little Irish guy, meat and potatoes guy. But that's why I started cooking, and I know it could change people's lives and feelings and moods. And but I love to cook anything.
And how do you stay in shape like you do? Do you have a really tough regimen? Are you in the gym for hours every day? How difficult is it for you?
I'm in the gym an hour and 15 minutes every day. I work out with a trainer when I'm home. And the reason I have to keep fit is because I work out with 20-year-old Marines, sailors, guardsmen. So from every force, literally Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, Space Force. And when I go to bases and I do food and whatever, and I just came from Fort Eustace, I'm going to Fort Jackson next week, a big training base. They expect you to do what these kids do. And I'm 57 years old and I can't do what kids do every day.
That's funny, but you do a pretty good job keeping up with them, I got to tell you, Robert. So last question, why should people watch Restaurant Rivals?
You want to see two great guys, two fierce competitors, and one outcome.
Well said, buddy. Thanks for doing this. It's always a pleasure to see you. I hope to see you soon. And I hope we get another round.
Yeah.
You know, certainly, we deserve another round of this thing. And I look forward to doing it.
Well, to the viewers, if they like it, they should tell Discovery, for sure. Yeah,
they sure should. All righty, buddy. Safe travels. See you soon.
Subscribe to the John Taffer Podcast right now.